I think the good news we all know, and I think a lot of the sessions, as you look at the conference schedule the next 2 days, are focusing on social media. Almost 80 million women online, 34 million moms, and I think that's a very conservative number. That's an eMarketer number that was published in June. I've seen numbers as high as 42 million. So however you look at that, that's a nice sizable number. And half of those women, those moms, are saying that they're reading blogs, and they're reading blogs for parenting advice. So moms are clearly still looking for information, but it's no longer just the print, it's no longer just TV, and blogs are definitely here to stay. They're definitely a legitimate part of the mom media mix. But that's also created an incredibly cluttered environment. Even just in the last couple of years, we've see things get really, really cluttered. I think what you see most often are the reports on the hundreds more mom bloggers. And do you guys know offhand how many total mom blogs?
Thousands.
So it's in the thousands now. I think they said there were 600 mom blogs just at Blogger this summer. So we're in the thousands. So see a lot about that. But the other piece that we see is there are many more brands jumping in, which is good. But it also means there's more demands on bloggers' time. It's exciting, but it's certainly cluttered and makes it harder to break through. It really means your programs have to be really on point. There's so much focus on outreach and what's happening in those initial interactions, but equally important is the monitoring and what does the post look like and is there disclosure and is there accurate information? Is stuff translating? And many bloggers are great writers, but they're only as good as the information that they're getting. And so it really is up to the brands to monitor and make sure that what's being received and what's being played back is accurate, because there's all kinds of risks from credibility to legal for both brands and bloggers.
I was saying to Kristen earlier, quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. I think what they say is way more important than numbers. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would just go after someone because they had high numbers.
I know personally, as a mom blogger, my frustration tends to be that we're still pretty much all lumped in as one mom, mm-hmm. and we are very different. And I think that the biggest mistakes that brands can make are to always pitch us on mom stuff because we have no other interests. And we have no other, there's nothing else. Like I've always said, American Express would be like a great brand to work with. And people say, why American Express? Why not Huggies? Well, my kids are 7 and 4. I don't use Huggies anymore.
So we started to branch out a bit and see how we could integrate with them. So with Blogger, we offered carpool to their main conference every year. We worked with SV Moms, and they did a cross-country road trip to San Francisco. They talked to Katie Couric. They did all this awesome stuff along the way. And really, I guess, at the end of it all, most of our activities now are how can we integrate with what they're already doing. Putting Bob Lutz or Rick Wagner, who used to be our CEO, in a room with mom bloggers, that doesn't happen very often, and that's definitely something they weren't used to. So I think
how did they react to that? Because a lot of CEOs are not comfortable with that.
I think it was good. I think it was eye-opening too to get feedback from consumers, from mm-hmm. moms, because we all know that for automotive purchases, women make a vast percentage of that is led by the woman in the household. So, they know that they're important in the car buying decision.
One thing that Aaron and I have been very impressed with through our interactions with General Motors over the years has been their sensitivity to not overwhelming your brand with their brand.
So there's several ways that we work with marketers. First, purely from an editorial standpoint, we just review the stuff we think is cool. And, it's the name, Cool Mom Picks. We pick things we think are cool. And we say in our disclaimer, we can't be held responsible if you don't think it's cool. It's just what we like. Because it's kind of all jumbled together on a blog, and it's such a personal experience for the reader, it really is important for us that everything on that page feels reflective of who we are.
Well, that's exactly it. And the other thing is, when we do the show, we do sponsorship that I equate to like old time radio. The show is sponsored by a brand. There's no commercial, there's no talking head. It's really literally, if you listen to any show this year, it started with The Manic Mommies is driven by Saturn. That was it. That was the only mention you had of the Saturn brand on any show. To me, it's always about the added value. The brands need to provide value.
We're attending several conferences and holding small group events also to really get to know moms on a one-to-one basis. so that we can, you know, in addition to reading what they're writing, because that's very important, and also looking at what they're saying on Twitter, how they're, how they conduct themselves. As a big brand, I'm very sensitive to the fact that it's a very traditional company, and so if the blogger or mom is writing and she's always snarky, always really critical, I'm going to hesitate a little bit, because I'm all state, and so it's an older company.
It's not your brand.
And I have to be careful.
The next step of what's happening in the blogosphere is that marketers are going to have to start being very selective. And I think it's not real hard to do, actually. Just read the blog. But I think the greater rewards come from being more specific about forming relationships with people who align with your values.
I was going to say, I mean, that's the other thing, is don't be afraid to ask. You know, when we're really engaging with brands that want to be engaging in blogging, they will generally ask us, who else, you know, it might be because we've said we can't because there's a conflict, or we can, and they'd say, well, great, is there anyone else that you think would be quality? I think we know who's influential.
But there's no magic bullet, and
no.
I think that's part of the problem. You know, Alexa is always off. Mm-hmm. Technorati just did this whole redo, and it's a disaster right now. Nobody can even figure it out. Google Analytics is pretty good. But then there's other factors that determine influence. Inbound links, mainstream media coverage, the quality of the people following someone on Twitter as opposed to just the quantity. It's very easy to get a lot of people with the word escort in their name following you on Twitter. So I think the challenge for brands right now is, like, you know, well, tell me, how do I find these blogs? And the truth is, it's not easy. You have to look at any number of metrics.
That I actually feel better about a company and a product if they have a Twitter presence. And the most important thing, though, is to actually have someone monitoring it, a live person, like everyone here in this panel has great Twitter IDs. They have, you know, interaction. You want to interact with your Twitter audience. You can't just have a Twitter ID and not interact. And if you actually have people interacting, and if your customers have a problem, or good or bad, if you're interacting, that is what you need to do.
Yes. For us, you'll see that some companies have people going out on their personal accounts, and they have, you know, tens of thousands of followers, but they're representing the brand through the personal account. And I think for us, we've actually taken the opposite approach. We do have our brand channels on Twitter, but we also have empowered all of our employees to go out, because we feel like we'd rather have 400 people with, you know, 300 followers each talking about the brand, mentioning, obviously, full disclosure, that they're part of the Chevrolet team, or whatever the case may be. That goes back to our social media policy, but I think getting as many people out there. So I do talk about Chevrolet from my personal account, but if you go to the Chevrolet Twitter page, it has all the contributors to the Twitter page. So there's like four of us, and then it has our picture and then our Twitter handle, our personal one.
We really use At Manic Mommies as a distributor of content. It's hooked into Twitter feed. So that when our website is updated, a tweet is sent out automatically. If you follow At Manic Mommies, you will automatically get a tweet that gives you our two handles. Mm-hmm. Because the fact is, it wasn't authentic to have either of us really tweeting under that name. We are Kristen and Erin. Together, we're Manic Mommies. And we use a lot of these tools, whether we're talking about Twitter or our Facebook page, as ways to distribute content. In Manic Mommies, our struggle is kind of what's next. And for us, I think the irony is that we find ourselves moving more and more into more traditional medias. Like, you know, we have calendars out now in bookstores, and that's just not, you know, I think brands are starting to recognize the value of the brands that we've created. And I think, you know, like Mead approaching us to say, we want to do a line of calendars for moms, we recognize we don't need to start from scratch, we can work with you, was really savvy on their part, because we had a built-in brand, we had a built-in audience.
You think that Facebook and Twitter, well, hey, you know, a video is hot now. So, I mean, just, you know, fly by the seat of your pants. Just when you figure out Twitter and Facebook, then there's going to be something else. In Silicon Valley Moms Group, we have a video series called A Bite Out of Life. I'm doing vlogging with other tech women bloggers. So video, there's like, I see a lot of trend with you know, extending the mediums, not just to blogging and even podcasting and also, and then video, doing more things like that.
So what you said about how many conferences there are, Blogalicious, Blogger, you know, Manic Mommy's Escape is one of them. I mean, there's lots of opportunities out there, but finding, going back to what we said about finding what works for your brand, I mean, you could do all of them. I mean, we've participated in all the ones I just listed, but it's finding a balance in which ones feel comfortable. I mean, and as certain ones start to grow, they might outgrow your brand. Your brand might not fit in still. It's okay to back down a little bit in your involvement because it just doesn't feel right, maybe as it used to feel.
You know, the intimate conversations you can have with people are so much, there's so much more value. And so it's not building this army of people, really. It's building, you know, just a group of advisors, advocates, whatever, you know, you want to call them that. I think that's how the focus will be.
The problem right now on Twitter is disclosure is really hard when you're tweeting. You only have 140 characters. It's easy when you're posting. So I've been following it, and some people are using a pound ad.
Mm. Yep.
And so I actually like that. To me, it's like, okay, you're disclosing. Otherwise, it seems a little silly. Like, I don't know if this sponsored tweet up, are they talking about a product?
I think a lot of what works about blogging and marketing relationships in general is expectation and the expectation of the reader. And when people come to Cool Mom Picks, they know they're going to read reviews. They're not disappointed because that's what we do. When they're coming to Mom 101, they're coming to read, like, funny stories. And if all of a sudden I was doing reviews, they would be disappointed. So I think, you know, it's kind of our job to figure out that balance so that we're not destroying our trust with our readership.
But all the way down to comments, I mean, on a fan page, if you're talking or you unveil something or you release some sort of information and you have 1,000 people comment on that. I mean, that's huge. Those are maybe people that wouldn't talk to us normally, or if it's on Twitter, or whatever the case may be. I think it just depends on what works for your company too, because what they're comfortable accepting as information. Because it's the same as measuring media. I mean, all forms of communication are hard to measure.
We get that. I mean, the truth is, most mom bloggers are somewhere in between. You know, I mean, if you look at Manic Mommies, it's the show, it's us complaining and talking about our kids, and then every now and then there may be a product that we talk about because we like it. We're not a review site. We know we're not a review site. You know, I've had to say to some, before we started reviewing technology for Real Simple, I kept getting games for the Wii. And I finally had to say to the guy, I'm like, I cannot write about video games every week. This is a mom blog. This is not a blog about video games.
I don't know about you, but we test things. We'll try something small and see if it works. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, well, we won't do it again.
Convincing the people that in the organization that you really have to look at the long tail. It's not just the immediate numbers, but it really is, you know, the fact that you're building this audience. You're building a group of people who are, you know, brand enthusiasts. And maybe they won't buy a car right now, but eventually they will be in the market.